Lakers over the Grizzlies, 94-92, the final score. Grizzlies fall to 2-5 on the season. Lakers are now sitting at 6-2, 8 games in. Lakers have a schedule in front of them that they could really take advantage of. Michael and I talked a little bit about it in the pregame show, and we'll kind of continue this theme as we look ahead to the Lakers. It's not pretty. I know I got a lot of people hitting me on Twitter and saying, Al, why are you getting excited for a game where you win by 2 against Memphis and there's no Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow? I get it. I don't disagree with that. But I do think that, you know, when you're a team like the Lakers who are coming off a championship, you do find, you know, you do kind of play down to your competition. That's not that uncommon. And I think these last couple of games, yeah, we've seen that. I mean, 2 nights ago when the Lakers played the Grizzlies, it was a 2-point game going into the fourth quarter. Lakers ended up winning by 14. They outscore, obviously, the Grizz by 12 points in that fourth quarter. Tonight, a different story, another close one. If LeBron doesn't hit two long fadeaways, maybe the Lakers don't win this game. And trust me, the conversation, of course, would be different. But they did win. And I do feel like it's a team that has so much talent that they take the foot off the gas, and I think you'll probably expect that more and more this season, and hopefully it's not something that you get accustomed to and that the team doesn't get accustomed to. But I think we all know that there's enough talent on this team that when they need to turn it on, they will turn it on. 94-92, the final score for the Lakers. Couple things stand out. 17 turnovers for the Lakers. Not crazy about that, obviously. I'm sure the coaching staff's going to point that one out. The Lakers, actually, in the last game against Memphis, only 10 turnovers, so that was one of those games. I think the second half of that game two against the San Antonio Spurs, only 4 turnovers. So in a game and a half, they had 14 turnovers total. Obviously, in this game, just 17, or a total of 17. That's an area that, of course, you want to see the Lakers improve on. They shot 43% from the field, struggled from the three-point line tonight, 9 of 31, 29% from the three-point line. Out-rebounded the Memphis Grizzlies. And like I mentioned, turnovers, it was 17-13. This is kind of a crazy stat from a Memphis perspective. 14 steals for the Memphis Grizzlies. Lakers had 7 steals and 8 blocks. I did mention a little bit earlier that Anthony Davis, 3 steals and 3 block shots. I heard Mike Trudell saying that Anthony Davis moved to 9th all-time in games with 3 steals in 3 blocks, and that there's a pretty impressive list that he's obviously on there. Those are two-way players, probably mostly big men that have the ability to do that, and Anthony Davis on a short list there. The superstars won the game for the Lakers. After LeBron James and Anthony Davis, only one other player scored in double figures. That was Dennis Schroeder, who struggled from the field. He was 5 of 15 from the field, ended up with 12 points and 6 assists. But everybody else for the Lakers, I mean, just kind of take a look here. Kuzma in the starting lineup, 5 points and 7 rebounds. Montrezl Harrell, who we've been talking about and obviously enjoy that he's almost a walking double-double every single game, had 9 points and 7 rebounds. He went 4-9 from the field, but just 8 points between Wesley Matthews and Talen Horton-Tucker. Gasol just 3 points. So it was really, really on LeBron James and Anthony Davis's back, and they delivered. So I guess that's the one way that you can look at it, the superstars coming through for the Lakers. I thought LeBron is – there's a portion of the game. By the way, got to always throw this out there. Sometimes I forget. 877-710-ESPN. You want to be a part of this post-game show, feel free to call in. We'll definitely take your calls as we get through the post-game show tonight. We'll hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, so we'll get to everything. You could also hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, if you want to message me on there. But 877-710-ESPN. So let me go back to LeBron here for a quick second. LeBron had moments in tonight's game where – you could just tell when he's on the floor and when he's not. And you could tell that his impact during a game like this, even a game against Memphis, even a game where there's really not that much talent out there for the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that was playing hard. Obviously, this game meant a lot more to them than it meant to the Lakers, whether you like to hear that or you don't. But I'm sure this is a 2 games against Memphis, a team that you really don't have that much to get up for. That's the reality of the predicament. LeBron put the Lakers in a position there towards the end with his 26 points, his 11 rebounds, his 7 assists, but hit a couple key shots to stretch that lead from a one-possession game to a two-possession game. You heard Ireland on the call a little bit earlier. The Lakers went from up 3 to up 5, and then eventually that lead just kind of grew from there, and Memphis made a couple plays there towards the end. Lakers were extremely careless with the ball to end the game, but that's kind of, I would say, the theme of the game to begin with, 17 turnovers for the Lakers. You want to see LBJ's turnovers down, 6 turnovers tonight, but the Lakers can kind of hide this game by ending up with more points than Memphis at the end of the day. I mean, if they had lost this game 93-92, maybe, or 92-91, or whatever the case is, maybe this conversation is a lot different. But because the Lakers eventually just figured out, because the Lakers found a way to get the win, that really is all that I think does matter at the end of the day. And it's not to say that the Lakers don't have a ton to improve on, because they do. You heard Anthony Davis a little bit earlier. One of the things that I appreciate with AD, and one of the things I always appreciate from Anthony Davis, he's got this honesty in all of his conversations that he has, just an honesty of being real anytime he's talking to the media and reporters. And he was saying tonight that he's got to set the tone defensively. He's got to be the one that, you know, everybody kind of follows. And they did tonight, 26 points, 10 rebounds. But the 3 steals and the 3 block shots, that's more impressive to me than the 26 and 10. So, you know, you could kind of slice and dice this any way you want. But at the end of the day, when one of your best players is putting up that's 2 straight games, 3 steals and 3 block shots, that's what you really kind of pay attention to. You know, he certainly came through for the Lakers tonight. It was nice to see him also get going from the field. 10 of 20 from the field is a nice, obviously, stat line for Anthony Davis, who's been okay so far to start off the season. He hasn't been the AD that I think a lot of us are expecting this year, but he'll get into form, and tonight was a nice performance from him. Okay, and we come back. We will hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. We appreciate you guys being a part of the Pizza at Lakers postgame show right here on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rebound Grayson Allen. Allen into the front court. Allen dribbling. Melton's got it now. Melton give it back to Grayson Allen. Allen dribbles. They get the ball inside to Gorgui Jang. Jang shovel pass. Blocked by Talen Horton Tucker. De'Anthony Melton went to the rim and THT flew out of the backcourt and blocked it. It's now 21-19 Memphis.
The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit savewithadrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance. More options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers, by the way, Talen Horton Tucker with that block. But Lakers as a team, 8 block shots and 7 steals, 94-92 over the Memphis Grizzlies. 6-2 on the season. The two teams that the Lakers lost to are two teams that will be formidable in the Western Conference. That's the Portland Trail Blazers and the Clippers. The 6 teams that the Lakers have beat, really teams that they're expected to win. Minnesota, Dallas, and some injuries, obviously, for the Minnesota or for the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. So Lakers really just handling business. This is what they're supposed to be doing. Let's take a listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. This is Coach Vogel on the Lakers 94-92 win over the Memphis Grizzlies. Here's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel.
Hey Frank, is there anything anticipatory about games staying relatively close, you know, fourth game on the road, and then LeBron and AD kind of carrying things to a victory? Is there anything about that formula, or is that just kind of how things turn out sometimes with the way that they play?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's in some ways how it turns out. I think we're managing their minutes more early in the game and, you know, willing to, you know, extend them a little bit in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I think that's why you're seeing us separate in the fourth. But, you know, certainly we got to play better than we did tonight, in particular closing that game once we had that lead. But overall, 4-0 in a trip, can't be unhappy about that.
Yeah, Frank, and this may be tricky to answer early in the season, but any reflections on what it's like having a four-game trip in these circumstances versus what you would traditionally and how you saw that play out in games, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different dynamic being in the same city for as long as we were in San Antonio and now here in Memphis. And it's a different dynamic playing the same team two times in a row. And, you know, I just want to credit our guys because it's easy to have a letdown, you know, when you're playing a team that wasn't in the playoffs last year that is missing key guys. And, you know, credit the Grizzlies for playing two really hard games, the Spurs as well. But also credit our guys for, you know, playing through all that stuff and, you know, continue to work to, you know, to get W's. So it is a little bit different.
Dave?
Frank, kind of following along the same lines of what I asked you pregame, we got word from Allison early on tonight that Nina, your trainer, wasn't going to be with you guys on the bench. And what's it like taking that news real time, disseminating it to your team, and maybe not knowing what the next steps that will follow that come with that will be?
Yeah, that's such is life in the pandemic. You know, they have protocols in place to keep us all safe. And, you know, when something's out of place, something like tonight happens and you know, we all just got to have a roll with it type of mindset. The good news is Nina has cleared protocols and we'll be able to travel back with us tonight. So, you know, like I said, it's just part of life in a pandemic is there's going to be people, staff, players, coaches, whatever, at any time, you know, pulled from their responsibilities and, you know, we just have to have a next man up type of mindset.
Kyle?
Hey, Frank. Just LeBron's fadeaway shots, the spinaway shots at the end there. I think certain maybe metrics tell us that maybe that's not an efficient shot, but when LeBron takes them, I mean, how much confidence do you feel in those situations that it's going to find a way in?
I have a lot of confidence in LeBron James in the fourth quarter. You know, I don't really know any other way to say that. I trust him. You know, we coach him to make the right reads and feel the game out and point out things that may be there that you know, that I'm sure he's seeing, but just to make sure he's seeing and. You know, that's why he's great. You know, he finds a way to make those elite superhero types of plays. You know, our focus is on making sure that we don't need those superhero types of plays, you know, to close games out. But, you know, sometimes you do, and it's great to know that he can rise to the occasion the way he did.
Couple more. Dan?
Grant, kind of not really a basketball question, but there's a ton going on in the world right now. Obviously, a runoff election in Georgia. The police officers in the Blake shooting not being charged. I'm just curious, LeBron has his hands in so many of these different things. Do you ever marvel at his ability to compartmentalize and perform when obviously, you know, there's a ton of stuff that he's interested in that's going on elsewhere in the world?
Yeah, of course. He's obviously one of the most impressive people I've ever been around. And, you know, I think what you just alluded to is one of the ways that makes him special, his ability to compartmentalize, but also to have, you know, an interest and a care factor, you know, in those other types of things going on in the world. And, you know, to be able to have his mind on some of those things and still perform the way he does, part of what makes him special, you know.
Last one, Jordan Richard.
Hey, Frank, can you just talk about, you know, the group defensively on the last couple of possessions? You know, you went small ball with Anthony Davis and also you had Wes Matthews. You know, just talk about how they performed defensively just with that small group.
Yeah, well, aside from the last 30 seconds or so, which was a little chaotic that, you know, we have to do a better job of, I thought the last 4 or 5 minutes or so where we were small, you know, that's a formula we've had where, you know, you basically have three, you know, tough-minded perimeter smalls out there with LeBron and AD. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been a very difficult lineup combination for teams to beat for a lot of different reasons, the offensive space, you know, and then the defensive mobility that we have. A lot of times last year was, you know, Rondo, Alex, KCP in those types of roles. You know, so it's just a formula that is difficult for teams to beat. You know, one of the reasons why we're able to win tonight.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. By the way, speaking of KCP and Alex Caruso, Lakers' next game is coming up on Thursday against the San Antonio Spurs. It looks like both of those players will be available. At least that's the initial thought. Head coach Frank Vogel talked about it in the pregame show a little bit earlier today. So Lakers will get some help back. And I will say from a bench perspective, you know, it's every night it's a little bit different. Last game for the Lakers, their bench was great. Wesley Matthews and Montrezl Harrell were big for them. Tonight, that wasn't exactly the case. Lakers, you know, certainly have too much depth and too much talent to have that little production from the bench. When KCP goes back to the starting lineup, Kuzma comes back in off the bench. Alex Caruso is also going to be part of the mix, and I think that's the best bench in the NBA, and we'll see if the Lakers can obviously – it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to obviously deliver, but it does look like those two players will be back for the Lakers come Thursday. Two home games for the Lakers. So Thursday, Friday, they'll play back-to-back. They'll get an opportunity to just kind of keep that cushion going as far as their schedule goes. The Spurs on Thursday and then the Chicago Bulls on Friday. Bulls not that good of a team. Lakers already took two games against the San Antonio Spurs. They did that on the road, so certainly the Lakers got an opportunity with this advantage with their schedule early on. Okay, I promise when we come back, we're going to take your phone calls. I know we got a lot of people waiting. 877-710-ESPN. Your phone call's coming up next, plus Wesley Matthews. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers now 6-2 on the season. Couple more games coming up this week at Staples Center. Lakers got the Spurs. The Chicago Bulls can start out 8-2. Supposed to be 8-2 by that point. Certainly the Lakers got an incredible amount of opportunity. Just take advantage of the schedule. I know I keep emphasizing it, but it's a very soft schedule, and they are playing down to their competition. These games are not beautiful. This is not the Lakers that you're going to see in 30, 60, 90 days, in my opinion. But you're still winning games, and that's the most important thing at the end of the day. It's not like LeBron James and Anthony Davis need to, you know, learn something special against the Memphis Grizzlies. You just hope all these other players are stepping up. Guys like THT and Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder. You want all these other players to get going tonight. The Lakers had to depend on their superstars. 877-710-ESPN. Let me grab a couple quick phone calls, and then we'll go to Wesley Matthews. Josh in Las Vegas. Josh, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
How are you doing, Alan?
Good,
I just wanted to say that we witnessed poetry at its greatest. We saw LeBron James, an 18-time All-Star, take the ball and poetry in the making with that fadeaway. But I just want to add that, you know, the Lakers can't win games like this.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to play superstar teams like the Clippers, Brooklyn Nets, and other contenders, and we're going to win by two to the Memphis Grizzlies, we need our role players to step up a little. We need the Wesley Matthews that we had on the Spurs going 6-for-6 for three-pointers. We need the, you know, we need that Dennis Schroeder shooting from the corner or whatever he is. We need the young guys, the young bucks in. It was great. LeBron took leadership tonight. Anthony Davis was somewhat there. But LeBron really, you know, bailed us out. That's why we have a superstar. But the Lakers need to not bail like this. And we need to depend on our team and win like 30 points like the Brooklyn Nets did tonight.
I appreciate you calling in. I'll say this. I don't really disagree with you. I mean, games like this, when Michael and I do the keys to the game in the pregame show, and I told Michael, you know, it'd be nice. We get to the fourth quarter, and this is a 15, 18, 20-point game, and LeBron and Anthony Davis can kick back in the fourth quarter. I think every time I've asked for that since last season, it never happens. Both guys played 34 minutes tonight. But I also think it's common. And if you guys remember this last season as well, Lakers had games like this where they played down to the competition, but still won a lot of these close games. They'll be fine. It's not pretty basketball, and you're right. You cannot do this against the upper echelon teams in the Western Conference or even in the East. They got this road trip coming up where they're going to face Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston. Yeah, you definitely can't play like this. You're going to get ran out of the gym. But at least tonight, 94-92 over Memphis. Let me grab another call here. Manuel and Gardena. Manuel, appreciate you calling in. What's going on, man?
Happy New Year, Sleek Stack.
Thank
you,
sir.
Doing?
You too, man. You too. I'm doing good. What's going on? What'd you think of the game tonight?
Hey, man. That one cat who said, oh, we need to win by three like the Nets did. First off, the Nets can look up at the banners that we hung. Second off, last I checked, the W that we got tonight counts for as many W's as that Nets does. So calm down, Laker fans. It's one game of many. There's going to be ups and downs. This squad, any year, seems to play up or play down to the competition at any given moment. So in reality, man, the 72, that's just the starting point. You know what we got our eyes on, and that's number 18. So all this stuff is going to be a distant memory come June. So calm down, keep it in perspective, and these guys are going to be fine, man. There was no training camp. You know what I mean? These guys are still learning their roles. We're going to be fine, back to back.
Manuel, appreciate it, my man. Thank you for calling in, all right? That's Manuel and Gardena. Okay, this is the one thing, by the way, it is so funny, Laker fans, and I'm the same way too, but everyone's on different spectrums. It's either you got to win by 30 or, hey, it's all good, it's the regular season. But there is kind of this extreme one way or the other. All right, Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high-quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint, Lakers barely win that Points in the Paint battle. 44-42, Lakers with a two-point advantage there. 94-92, Lakers over the Memphis Grizzlies. I do want to get to Wesley Matthews. So Wesley Matthews, his individual stats, this kind of goes back to how he's been playing so far with the Lakers. Here is Wesley Matthews on the Lakers' 94-92 win over the Memphis Grizzlies.
Hey, Wesley, just wondered what's your experience been being on the court next to LeBron and AD and sort of seeing the impact they can make on both ends in crunch time and how that measures up with what you've experienced so far through your career.
I mean, obviously, those are the two of the most versatile defenders and just players in this game that this game has seen. So basically trying to, you know, find where you fit, make sure you get out the way when it's time to get out the way. But also be ready when it's time to be ready. And, you know, they're two amazing players, and they can definitely make the game easier for everybody on both ends of the court.
Any way you can compare what it's like getting a road win, especially stacking road win in this year as compared to what it was like even last year before the pandemic?
I guess this is more of a playoff type feel where, you know, you're seeing the same team over and over. There's going to be adjustments that are made. There's a familiarity, you know, you kind of, it's a psychological game as much as it is a physical game where, you know, you got to get up to play the same team as opposed to, you know, different looks and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, but it's the same kind of road warrior mentality that, you know, we got to go in and we're going to have to fight regardless. We're obviously going to have a target on our backs. That's where I think, in my opinion, teams are really formed, which is, you know, their play on the road.
Kyle Goon.
Hey, Wes. I'm sure you're aware that today in Wisconsin, an attorney announced that there's not going to be any charges filed in the shooting of Jacob Blake. Kind of given everything that you went through with the Bucks, that the NBA went through, what do you make of that result?
Nothing that isn't going to be censored. It's disheartening. Truly, it's disheartening just for all the work that everybody put in. All the, you know, just the heartache of the families involved. You know, kids involved in the car. the city that rallied around it, the community. I mean, it's just about right and wrong. I mean, but, you know, this isn't going to be something that it can't deter, you know, those citizens who are trying to do right, who are trying to fight for equality, who are trying to fight for the right things. You know, it can't deter us. It can't make everybody, we can't lose our heads. We can't start rioting. We have to be calculated. We have to continue to keep our foot on the pedal. We have to continue to keep our foot on the gas. And I mean, this just furthers, you know, we can vote and do all those things, you know, with the president, but at the same time, we have to make sure that we protect our state and vote in state and understand that what is going on is real. This isn't made up. This isn't a lie. This isn't fabricated. This is lives. These are lives right here. And, you know, it's upsetting as a Wisconsinite. It's upsetting as a human being, you know, that justice is injustice. And it's tough. But it can't knock us off the path that we're trying to get to, which is equality and just simply right and wrong, just humanity. That's all it is.
Dan Wookie?
Wes, along those lines, I mean, you obviously have the disappointment and the heartache from something like that. And it comes on the same day where you're seeing tremendous turnout in a runoff election after a lot of discussion by NBA players, including LeBron, your teammate, about voting. I'm just kind of curious, where is the state of activism in the NBA right now? I mean, obviously there are going to be some wins and some losses. Do you feel like, even though the Blake decision wasn't what you guys wanted, that people are listening and that you guys are making a difference?
Well, we have to continue to, and it can't just be us. I mean, everything that we did in the bubble as the NBA, you know, not only just the Milwaukee Bucks, but in the state of Wisconsin, but everybody globally, nationally, really rallied. And, you know, that just has to continue to the flame is already lit. It just has to continue to keep burning and keep burning, but burning the right way, not where anything could be sidetracked, not that we're damaging anything so that all the media attention can go to, oh, well, look what's happening over here. No, look at the facts, look at what's going on, and then let's address the issues head on. And that's how, you know, we have to attack this. I feel awful for Jacob Blake, his family. But at the same time, I mean, we have to keep our foot on the gas. And that's what we did. That's why we did what we did, you know, to create awareness and to create, you know, a coalition amongst the NBA so that when things like this happen, that families and people are supported. So, you know, it's our job to play basketball, but it's also our job to make sure that our communities are aware of what's going on in them.
A couple more. Mark Medina.
Wesley, hope you're hanging in there, all things considered. To follow up on the things that you're just talking about now, what are your expectations moving forward of how you hope the Social Justice Coalition responds to this and, you know, puts any more additional pressure on local leaders to make any other changes?
Well, I mean, I'm very confident that Mark Lazary and the Milwaukee Bucks are doing their diligence right now, especially with it happening in their own backyard. I'm very confident in that. And I mean, that's it really is just tough. You know, it's almost, it really is disheartening, but you know, leaders have to be leaders and everybody has to take ownership for their own community. You know, it can't just be those that have the platform. It's gotta be everybody. I think we saw what impact that those with the platform can do. And we saw even more impact what those without a platform can do when everybody does it together, when everybody does it with the mission, when everybody does it with the right, with their heart forward. And it's all we can continue to ask for. It's all we can continue to strive for and fight for. And that's what's going to continue to happen.
Last question, Melissa.
Hey, Wes, did you guys as a team discuss the Jacob Blake case before the game tonight? And if so, what was sort of said in the locker room?
I think it got sprinkled around. You know, there wasn't a formal discussion about it. I didn't find out until I woke up from a nap truthfully, I didn't find out till like four something in the afternoon. I guess that decision had happened in the morning. So I think a lot of people just are kind of internalizing it. I know myself, I was internalizing it and just how, you know, you go through all those things, but at the same time, you can't be discouraged. You know, as visually upset as you guys can see me right now and hearing my voice, you know, we can't be discouragement. You know, we can't take our foot off the gas. We can't think that all of our efforts are for nothing, because they are. You know, we've got to keep continuing to wake up people. We got to continue to kick doors down the right way, and strive and push and demand change and demand equality and demand respect and demand humility. And, you know, that's my message to everybody is don't let this have you hang your head and be like, oh, it's broken, it's never going to get fixed. Now we got to fix it.
All right, that's Wesley Matthews right there. Always appreciate his insight. You guys remember the Orlando bubble. Obviously, there were a lot of the players, and that's not that that stopped or anything like that. But, you know, a lot of these players want to speak their mind. They got the platform and the opportunity to do it, and they're certainly trying to take advantage of that for the good. So you got to respect what these players are trying to do. Lakers over the Memphis Grizzlies. The final score, 94-92. When we come back, we'll go through the next few games for the Lakers. We'll take a look at the NBA scoreboard, and we'll continue to talk about LeBron James and Anthony Davis tonight. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers continue to handle business. They take care of the Memphis Grizzlies. So Lakers now 6-2 on the season. I got this. I was doing this with Michael Thompson. We were talking about what the rest of 8 games into the season now. By the time we get to those two games coming up on Thursday and Friday, we'll be 10 games in. So the expectation, if you look at their next two, San Antonio Spurs, Chicago Bulls. After that, Houston, two games against Houston on the road, Oklahoma City, the Pelicans, and the Warriors here at Staples Center. No reason why the Lakers should not be 12-3, 11-4 at worst. I think that would be the worst record that you could think of. Just kind of looking at the stretch that the Lakers have. So they got to take advantage. And I know I get some callers calling in and some of them saying they got to play much better than the way they're playing. They can't be squeaking by against teams that, you know, they obviously have such an advantage against. And those teams are missing players. I don't disagree. I get that. I understand it completely. And then I got other people saying a win's a win. And, you know, when you're this early into the season and you're coming off an NBA championship and you know that this is all about the marathon, if you can kind of sleepwalk through some games, I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that's unexpected. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the Lakers. They sit at 6-2. They beat teams they should have beat. They lost to two opponents that were competitive teams in the Western Conference, the Blazers and the Clippers. Would have been nice to obviously win one of those two games. But with all that being said, I do feel like there's improvement for the Lakers, and that's obviously going to happen as the season continues, as far as things progress. Okay, let's go to we're going to take a listen to LeBron James. LBJ just fantastic towards the end of this game. Hit big shots, 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. Here's LBJ in 34 minutes for the Lakers tonight.
Get better and to win. We're in the winning business. And that's what we want to do. We want to continue to build great habits. We're going to have times where we don't play to our capabilities, but we still want to be able to create great habits going forward. And I think we did that on this road trip.
Even with the new players, are there times like in the closing lineup where you and AD already sort of know exactly what to do to close out a game? How much of that is conscious, and how much of it is just the way that you guys impact the game?
Who's ever out on the floor late in the game is a reason. The reason why they're out there, and we trust everyone that's out there, all five guys. So, I think tonight's closing lineup was myself, AD, Dennis Menace, Wes, and Kuz. And we was able to, close the game out in fashion and get some stops, timely stops, and get some timely buckets.
Dan Working.
Hey, LeBron, I'm going to take you away from the court for a little bit. You guys played a game tonight, but there's so much going on in the world. In the morning, you guys find out that the officers and then Jacob Blake shooting won't be charged. As the day goes on, I'm sure you've gotten news about what's happened in Georgia and the turnout there and stuff like that. On nights like this, how are you able to focus on basketball? And I guess sort of your reaction to the, what else is happening? I mean, and all these other orbits that you have your fingers on.
Well, I'm smart enough to know that even though we're playing a game of basketball, that there's so much more that's going on in the world. So much more that's even more important than us playing a game. To hear what happened in Kenosha today was a blow to the heart and to the gut. Not only to that community, but to us and to every, black person that just has been a part of this process and seeing these outcomes for so long. And not only just in the black community, but also in the white community as well, who see, moments like this happen to us, and to happen to his family and to happen to the kid himself. To see that verdict, it was just, it was a blow to the gut, like I said, and a blow to the heart. But we got to continue to stay strong, continue to believe in each other and continue to push for the greater of change and for the greater of good. And to hear, my people turn out in Georgia in the fashion that they did. I'm definitely going to get some more information on it, but I heard they turned out in Georgia and that's commendable. It's something that we started with more than a vote, and we want to continue to do that and continue to support, actions like this and causes that went on today. Has been going on, obviously. So I'm proud of, proud of my people for getting out there and doing what they do best. So, and that's being heard and being seen and being powerful and being engaged. And, that's how it is.
Dave?
Brian, what does the next stage of More Than a Vote look like? You started in the summer. There was the big election in November, the runoff today. Can you take us forward as to what the next steps will be?
One I can tell you, Dave, is that we're not going to stop. We're always looking for opportunities to continue to grow, not only in my community, but all over the world and all over America, as you've seen we've been able to do since the summertime, all the way up into today. So we're going to continue to keep our foot on the gas, continue to keep our foot on, keep the pressure on going on how we continue to create change. And like I said, and create change for, the black community, but also just create change for the greater good. And we're looking forward to seeing what ways we can do and what we can do going forward.
A few more, Bill Orme.
Hey, LeBron, this is the first time we've talked to you about Jacob Blake since the bubble. And I'm wondering how this result, in if at all, changes is the wrong word, and I hate that I'm using it, but how that makes you look at what you guys did in the bubble when you know what you guys were kind of standing for together as a league. Does this result at all, how does that color when you look back at what you guys did as a league in the bubble?
Well, the best thing we were able to do in the bubble is that we were able to stand together and the strength in numbers, and we was able to showcase that throughout everything that was going on in America and everything that was going wrong in America, and we was able to voice those opinions and to voice those facts every single day. And I hope we continue that now, even being outside the bubble, as I'm sitting here talking to you about, the verdict that happened in Kenosha and what's going on in Georgia. And there's going to be other instances that's going to happen throughout, the course of this season. And I hope that we all can continue to shed light on situations that, one, that we believe in, two, if it hits in our home or hits in our heart, that we can talk about it and discuss it, and also just be knowledgeable about any situation that comes out. So, like I said, it's a blow to our community once again. And we've been here before. It sucks. We feel sorry for his family and for that community itself. And we want better. And hopefully we can get that.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Last question, Kyle Goon.
LeBron, obviously we ask you these questions because you're an influential person in sport and culture. But after these things happen, you say things, there are people who are going to criticize what you say, who are going to criticize NBA players for sitting out, criticize Colin Kaepernick. That dynamic kind of continues to exist. Do you feel frustration about the people who kind of focus on the words you say or the means by which people protest rather than sort of the substance of what is actually being protested and what issues you guys are trying to draw attention to?
Yeah, I mean, people are going to always direct or deflect or just you know, pull, you know, bits and pieces of your dialogue and try to make it for the better of what they want to hear or what they, you know, believe that you should be doing. And, you know, I'm past that in my life. I don't really care what people think, especially when if it's negative. When I'm speaking from the heart and I'm speaking from a very knowledgeable point of view, I know what I'm saying is right. And I could care less what other comments or what people say. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, we are all human. No matter the color of your skin, we all have emotions. We all have the same color blood when it comes out. You know, we all, you know, pull our pants up and you know, and tie our shoes the same exact way. So, you know, when it comes down to that, and I understand that, I know that me speaking about issues that's going on and not only in my community, but all over the world or especially in America that I live in, this is, you know, our home base. There's not one person that doesn't want to see the greater of good for all of us. You know, and it's unfortunate that we have some people out there that would rather see hate than love. And it's something we won't ever be able to change. That's just the way how life is built, unfortunately. But, you know, if we can get the majority on one side, on the side of love, then hate, then we can do some special things. So, you know, I will continue to use my platform, use my, you know, my influence and to continue to empower people, to continue to enlighten people on things that's going on that I feel that's just wrong. Today is one of those instances where we as a community feel like, you know, the verdict on, you know, that particular officer was wrong. And there's nothing else to say more about it.
That's LeBron James right there, the king. If you think this dude is just a basketball player, you don't know LBJ. LBJ obviously talking about a lot of different things going on, and he does so much more than just he's so much more than just the best player in the in basketball right now, at least in the world. And obviously his career speaks for itself, but it's amazing what he's doing off the court as well. Lakers over the Memphis Grizzlies, 94-92, the final score. Okay, a couple things to plug here as we wrap up the show. Don't go anywhere. Scott Kaplan coming up next. Cap will continue. The Scott Kaplan Show will continue to talk about the Lakers. Obviously, a big game for the Rams this upcoming weekend, a playoff game against Seattle. So there's a lot to get into. So stay right here. Make sure you stay tuned into 710 ESPN. As for our next game, the San Antonio Spurs from Staples Center. Pregame show starts at 5:30 with myself and MT. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. As always, thank you for being a part of the show. I'm Alan Sliwa. This has been the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.